Good morning, good Monday morning. It's Todd Zwillick and Femi OK, changing up your Monday morning routine just a little bit. John and Celeste are off today. Over 100,000 people have fled Libya in the wake of the protests and violent retaliation from Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's regime. The majority of the Libyan population lives in Tripoli on the western edge of the country, and many of the refugees from Egypt, Libya and other countries, they've now fled to Tunisia in just the last couple of days. Joining us from Tunis is Sarah Leah Whitson. She's the Executive Director of Middle East and North Africa Division at Human Rights Watch. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
Hello there. And also joining us is Joe Stark, Deputy Director of the Middle East Division for Human Rights Watch. He's stateside. Hello there, Joe.
Hello.
Sarah, first of all, you've just been on that border between Libya and Tunisia. What's happening there?
Well, as you reported, tens of thousands of migrant workers are streaming out of the country. The vast majority of them are Tunisian and Egyptian workers. The Tunisians are largely transferring to other parts of their country, to home, but the Egyptians have been stranded for several days now, some going on 4 and 5 days, because the Egyptian government was completely unprepared for this influx of probably 22,000 Egyptian workers at the Tunisian border already, and they have been staying in makeshift camps prepared by the Tunisian military. The Red Crescent is passing out food and blankets, but as of yet, there are no large-scale operations to return these Egyptians home, and so their frustration and anger is certainly rising, and they have already had a very stressful journey getting across the border.
Sarah, what stories are the refugees telling you about what's happened to them or what happened to them in Libya?
Well, several fold. I think the main issue we focused on the day before yesterday, based on people who had been in Zuwara, which is a town about 100 kilometers to the west of Tripoli, is that it had been taken over by pro-government forces really since the second day of the demonstrations on February 18. This was confirmed by a number of Egyptian workers who were living there, as well as Libyans who had recently come out for business and family trips, and we spoke to some Libyans in Zuwara as well. The significance of Zuwara's being controlled by anti-government forces, of course, is that it is one of the major cities to the west of Tripoli. We already know the east is under the control of pro-government forces, but to establish a break in Gaddafi's control in the west is extremely important.
So you told us just a little while ago that most of the refugees you were seeing were Tunisian, they were Egyptian. I just want you to listen to this little piece of sound that we got from a Nigerian man talking about getting out of Libya.
Gaddafi himself, he did a very big mistake by using the West, the sub-Sahara black, you know, well, Malaysians, I don't know what to say, to fight his own people. Because of that, now they see every black as one. In Benghazi, I heard that the two blacks were killed.
And we sometimes forget when we're reporting this story that Libyans are Africans as well, but there seems to be some amount of tension between black sub-Saharan Africans and Libyans in the whole Libyan revolution. Can you tell us if you have any knowledge of that, and what are perhaps black Africans telling you? Are they having major issues?
This has certainly been reported because of the wide reports of the use of African mercenaries in Libya, that there has been some retaliatory attacks on migrant workers, African migrant workers, sub-Saharan migrant workers in Libya. But I must add that we've spoken to several Egyptian workers who've also been beaten and attacked, threatened with guns and knives, and ordered to leave the country immediately following Safe speech. Saif al-Islam's speech, where he blamed the uprising on foreigners and drug addicts. And so there was sort of an immediate retaliation against foreign workers of all stripes. So it's certainly a problem for African migrants, sub-Saharan African migrants, but it's also been a problem for Tunisians and Egyptians as well.
Let me bring in Joe Stork, Deputy Director of Middle East Division for Human Rights Watch. Joe, this sounds like an issue that has to be coordinated from outside of that immediate area. What's been the international reaction so far?
I think you saw the rather amazing vote in the Security Council the other night. which not only put sanctions on the Colonel Gaddafi and his family and immediate entourage, also arms and both for arms embargoes, but then furthermore, in really an almost unprecedented move, referred the whole situation to the International Criminal Court for investigation and possible prosecution. So I think that's, and what you've seen since then is certainly steps by European governments, at least verbally. We'll see what happens in practice, but verbally at least, to impose those arms sanctions pretty much immediately. I think the other point to make, though, in connection with the refugee situation, the migrant worker situation, is, you know, it places obligations on, first of all, the neighboring states, but also the states across the Mediterranean, namely the EU member states, in terms of the obligation not to forcibly return to Libya or to countries of origin, people who have a justifiable fear of persecution.
So in terms of responsibility, because Italy flagged this up quite a while ago when Tunisian refugees were heading towards Italy and also some refugees heading towards Malta. Who is responsible? Who needs to coordinate this major effort?
Well, this is not, I mean, this is really the job for the international community.
Let's go back to Sarah Leah Whitson, who's on a better line, even though you're in Tunis and Joe is back here in the States. Sarah, where do you see the situation going next? You're very close to that border.
At the border, we see larger and larger streams coming through. We know the border was shut down at 9 yesterday, but we need some international assistance to send these workers home.
Sarah Leah Whitson, thank you for joining us. You're the Executive Director of Middle East and North Africa Division at Human Rights Watch, speaking to us from Tunis, Tunisia. And also, just a moment ago, Joe Stork, Deputy Director of the Middle East Division for Human Rights Watch. Thank you very much, both to you. We will continue to cover the situation in Libya and across the Middle East in our program today and through all of our newscasts. And if you have a comment that you would like to make about any of the segments we're doing today, you can get in touch with us. 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's 877-8-MY-TAKE. You're listening to The Takeaway this morning with Femi Okeh and Todd Zwillick sitting in for Celeste and John.